Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Church family, we have been walking our way through chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, looking at seven different churches that Jesus specifically speaks to, and we come this week to church number 7. So pat yourselves on the back. You have endured six churches. And now you get to experience the last church that Jesus speaks to, specifically a church in a place called Laodicea. And this is probably, if I had to guess, the one that most of us are familiar with. If you've been to revival services, this is the passage that the preacher preaches about to try to get you to come forward, right? Because we got issues and we need to get those dealt with. Here's the thing that we're going to see this morning in this church. Jesus is going to specifically diagnose them with a problem. And then he's going to say, if they don't deal with the problem that they have, that there's great danger that's going to come as a result of that. And then finally, Jesus, as the great physician, offers the cure. What do they do about this problem and this danger that they are heading for? What can they do about it? My prayer this morning and my hope is that this would speak to us as well. Because I think many of us, as believers, as Christians, can find ourselves in the verses that I'm about to read. And so I want to begin reading in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus' words to this church in Laodicea. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your Spirit this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. I want you to notice with me as we dive into this passage, Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. I want you to notice verse 14 and verse 15, this diagnosis that Jesus, the great physician, makes about this church. Jesus says to them, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, the messenger, likely the pastor in the church, here are the words that this church needs to hear from the Savior. If you remember this greeting that we're about to see, we've seen those in each church that we have encountered, letters written to them. Jesus speaking directly to them, wanting them to know, to understand, to comprehend what it is about Him that the church needs to hear. And so to this church in Laodicea, Jesus says the words of the Amen. We think about that and we say, you say amen at the end of the prayer, right? Isn't that what you usually do? That's kind of like the stamp to make sure it gets to God. The amen. Some of you are like, oh, I didn't think about that. Let me just say to you, you cannot say amen and your prayers still go to God, okay? Just want to say that to you, just in case you were wondering that. But Jesus, speaking to this church, wants them to understand that He is the end. Not only is He the Alpha, the beginning, but He is also the end. And all of history, as we've talked about so many times before, church, is moving in one direction, and that is to the ultimate rule and reign of Christ on this earth. That is where history is heading. And to this church, He says the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. We're reminded of who Jesus is. We think about the beginning of God's creation, and mankind was created by God. We know that Adam was the first one that He created, and yet we find out that Jesus is the better Adam. Though Adam could not live without committing sin, we know that Jesus lived on this earth sinless. He was perfectly. He was the spotless Lamb of God that took away our sin on His death on the cross and His resurrection. Jesus, to this church, wants to remind them of who He is and then says to them in verse 15, I know your works. How many times have we seen Jesus say that specifically to the churches? And it should remind us that Jesus knows North River Church's works. He knows where we are. He knows what we are about. He knows what we are doing. And to this church in Laodicea, He says, I know your works. And listen to how He follows it up, because it's not what you want to hear from Jesus. You are neither cold nor hot. You're neither cold nor hot. You ever found yourself there as a follower of Jesus? Where you just look and you say, I just kind of feel like I'm in the mushy middle. I mean, the passion, the white-hot passion that I had for the Lord and for following Him that I had when I first met Jesus is just not there anymore. And I'm not just like walking away completely, not interested in the Lord. I'm just kind of stuck in the middle. I'm not cold, but I'm not hot either. You look at that, and for those of us who drink coffee, you don't want a lukewarm cup of coffee, do you? Especially not on a morning like this in church as it's freezing in here. You don't want that. You want one that's hot. And I'm just going to be honest with you, coffee shouldn't be cold either. Amen? No. Nobody wants cold coffee. Coffee shouldn't be cold. It needs to be hot. And that's here what Jesus is saying to this church, that they're not cold. They're not on the end where they've got no passion for the Lord, but they're also not white hot with passion for the Lord. They're just kind of riding the fence line. Not really excited about Jesus, but not wanting to say we don't care about Jesus. Just right in the middle. And this is the diagnosis that Jesus makes of this church. Looking at them, looking at these believers, He says to them, I know your works, and you're neither hot nor cold. And notice what He says following that. I wish that you were either cold or hot. What a magnificent thing for Jesus to say. Jesus says, I wish that you were either way on this side, cold, don't even care about Jesus, or way on this side, white hot, ready to follow the Lord with great passion and intensity. I would rather you be on either end of the spectrum than stuck right in the middle. Because right in the middle is not where God's called us to live. God's not called us to live stuck in the middle, not sure whether we want to follow Jesus with great passion. God's desire for us as believers this morning is that the same passion we had when we first met Jesus, the same white hot intensity that burned within us would continue to burn within us. And so let me just say to you this morning, if you're here and you look and you say, Michael, this could be the same diagnosis that I would get this morning. Neither cold nor hot, just right in the middle. Can I say this to you? There is a cure that Jesus is going to get to here in just a little bit. So perk your ears up as we cover the next few things that we're going to look at. The danger, if we stay in that state of not moving from middle to hot, if we just stay right there, I want you to notice beginning in verse 16 what Jesus says to this church. Verse 16, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You look at that and you think for a minute. We've probably all been there at some point, taking a sip of something that is just repulsive and we spit it out of our mouths. That's the image, the picture that we see here with Jesus speaking to this church that is neither cold nor hot, just lukewarm. And he says, I would rather be one or the other because if something doesn't change, I'm just going to spit you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but that is a tough thing to hear. It's a tough thing to read, to think about, to recognize if we find ourselves in that lukewarm spot as a follower of Jesus to say, that's the way Jesus is going to respond if something doesn't change. Notice verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. It's interesting in that the things that Jesus specifically says to this church that they are saying about themselves. It's not that Jesus is looking at them and saying, you just don't know what's going on. No, they have been so deceived walking in lukewarmness that they actually think everything's okay. It's a great danger for us as followers of Jesus to convince ourselves in our mind that our walk with the Lord, it's not very good, but I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's not cold. I got my get out of hell free card, right? At least I'm going to get to heaven. And no, here Jesus says, you've convinced yourselves that you're rich. As if material possessions will make us follow Jesus better. He says, I've prospered and I need nothing. What a bold thing to say. I'm rich. I've prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus sees beyond the lukewarmness and beyond what we've convinced ourselves to think about our Christian lives when we are lukewarm. Jesus sees beyond all of that, and even though we may say to one another, everything's good, right? That's the patent answer coming into church. How you doing? Good. Everything's good. When the truth is, it's probably not good. And here Jesus says, you think you're rich, you think you've prospered, you think you need nothing. And let me say where you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. None of those things are positive. But the danger this morning of staying in a state of lukewarmness is living in that state of what Jesus describes here. Not only Him spitting us out of His mouth, but also saying to us, you don't even realize that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I mean, you don't even see it. You ever had a friend that you tried to say to them something that would encourage them and help them recognize they're dumb? You ever had that moment? Scott Johnson's my friend, so I experience that often. Him to me, correct? Yeah? But you're just looking and you see them and you see what they're doing. Maybe the lifestyle that they're living or the choices that they're making, and you just look and you go, how do you not see that? Like, how do you not see the state that you're in? How do you not see that the choices you're continuing to make put you in the place that you're in? How do you miss that? Jesus to this church says the exact same thing. They think everything's good, and Jesus says, how do you not recognize and see that what you think you have, you don't have any of it? You think you have prospered, and yet you are as poor as anyone could be. Jesus, looking at this church, says to them, if you continue in this diagnosis of lukewarm walking with Jesus, if you continue, here is the danger that is set before you. Jesus spitting you out of His mouth, just this disgust. And not that Jesus doesn't love us, and not that He hasn't paid for our sins, not that we're not followers of Him, but when our lives are marked by a sense of lukewarmness as believers, we have very little opportunity and power in the world in which we live. We looked last week at a church that Jesus said He had set before them an open door that they would be able to walk through. He had grand plans for this church that we saw last week in Philadelphia. And yet here He says to them, if something doesn't change, you will find yourselves poor and pitiable, naked and ashamed. Now you look at that and you think, well, what do I do? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, for me, I find myself in that spot, lukewarm, right in the middle. But I don't want to face the danger of what Jesus says here. I don't want to not be able to see the truth of where I am. I want to move forward with my walk with the Lord. What do I do? Notice verse 18. Here's the cure that Jesus offers. Verses 18 all the way down, He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It's interesting what Jesus says to them. We're going to see this first part. The first step of the cure is Jesus says to this group of believers, seek the things that are eternal. Jesus says to them, you think you're rich, and the reason you think you're rich is because you have temporary prosperity, material possessions, but all of those will be burned up one day. They'll be gone. What you think you possess, Jesus says to this church here, the things that you think you may have one day, they will all be gone. And so He says to them, buy from me gold refined by fire. Something Jesus says that will not burn up. Things that are eternal in nature. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus to this church looks at them and he says, you have been spending your money on things that will never satisfy and will never last. You want to know your lukewarm diagnosis? You've been investing yourselves in temporary things that will not last for eternity. So therefore, if that's the problem, and if that's the danger, he says the cure is to invest in those things that will last forever. Buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. You thought you were rich, but you were rich with temporary things that will not last. Buy from me, Jesus says, eternal things that will last, that will truly make you rich. And he says here, white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. You look at that and you think here, Jesus reminding this group of believers, they likely were spending their money on fancy clothes, and Jesus says, the problem is you need garments that you can't find in the department store. You need to be clothed with His righteousness. That is what is most important for us as believers. I don't know if you ever did this, but when I was a teenager, I used to go to a place in my hometown. The name of it was Putt-Putt. Miniature golf. Pastor Scott, you remember Putt-Putt, right? We grew up about 45 minutes from one another, and so we used to spend time at Putt-Putt. It's now the All-American Fun Park, because Putt-Putt didn't quite carry the connotation, but one of the things they had in there was laser tag. Love playing laser tag. And so you would go in and laser tag. The only lighting that was in there was black light. And what was funny is you would wear clothes in that were clean, and yet you would step under the black light and you found out whose mom was buying cheap laundry detergent. It was streaked. I mean, you looked and you were thinking, what did you do in those clothes? But here, that's the image that Jesus paints for us. They have bought clothes that they think will clothe their nakedness. And Jesus says, no, you don't realize what you truly need. The white garments of Jesus' righteousness that cover us. It is the only thing that will last for all eternity. You know, for us as believers, when the Father sees us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees His Son's righteousness covering us. And for some reason, there's times when we think we need to find something to cover ourselves up with instead of resting in the righteousness of Christ that covers our sin. And he says, you need to buy from me salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It's interesting when you think about these three things that Jesus says, gold refined by fire, white garments that will clothe the shame of your nakedness, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you can see. All things that Jesus here says to this church that they desperately need. They need to seek the things that are eternal. Let me just ask this question of us as a church family this morning. Are we seeking in our own lives the things that are eternal? Or like this group of believers, are we in our minds convincing ourselves that we are rich with material possessions when in fact Jesus looks at us and he says, oh, I wish you could see how poor you are. Those things will never satisfy. They will never do what eternal things will do in your life. Let me just put this in a personal way for us as a church family. As we look down the road literally to a permanent facility right down the road. We're excited about that. We are looking forward to that. But one day, that building will never be there. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. And we sit there and we look and we think, gosh, we're working in that direction. And when we get there, if we're not careful, we will think that we have made it. We'll think we're rich. We'll have to set up. We'll have to tear down. We'll have to sit on these hard lunch tables. We have padded chairs in the name of Jesus, right? We will think we have made it. We will think we are rich. And yet the truth is, that building one day won't be there. But every single soul whose life is transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ will be in eternity with Him. May we never lose sight thinking of this building as being the goal, because it's not the goal. The goal is to reach people for Jesus, to make disciples. That is the goal. Those are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that will last. Those are the things, as we see here, that will matter for all eternity. Seek those things that are eternal. And notice verse 19. Those whom I love. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. I want you to notice that. What an amazing thing to think about. The reason for us as parents that we discipline our children is because ultimately we love them. We love them, and so we discipline them. But even more so, Jesus, who loves His church with a love that we could not even fathom, even as much as we love our kids, disciplines His church. To these believers here who are lukewarm, Jesus says to them, I reprove and I discipline, so be zealous and repent. Turn from where you are and move in the opposite direction. Turn from being concerned about things that really don't matter and focus your attention and energy on those things that are eternal. And then notice what he says following that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, listen to this, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. There's a second part to the cure that Jesus says here. The first part of the cure is focus your attention on those things that are eternal. If you find yourself in lukewarmness, just stuck in the mushy middle of your Christian life, fix your eyes and your attention on those things that will last for all eternity. Seek the eternal. But here's the second part of that. Sup, meaning eat with, the Master. Notice that. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Why is He at the door? Because He wants to eat with us. Listen to that. Jesus' desire for those of us who are believers is to sit down with us over the table of His Word and spend time with us. to sup with us. I can say this to you as your pastor this morning. The most spiritually dry times in my life personally, I can trace to lack of time spent with Jesus in His Word. The cure to lukewarm affection for the Lord is seeking those things that are eternal and opening the door and sitting at the table and eating of His Word with Him. As we said to the families this morning, the greatest thing that they can do before passing the faith to their children is for it to be real in their own lives personally. That rings true for every single believer. If we find ourselves in lukewarm affection for the Lord, if that's where you see yourself this morning, let me just gently push and ask the question. Tell me about your time spent in God's Word over the last week or month. Because I can tell you from my personal experience, when that drifts off, begin to drift into lukewarmness. And Jesus here says to this group of believers, this church in Laodicea, I haven't gone anywhere. Think about that. I mean, all along, Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Just knocking. Waiting for us to open the door, to invite Him in, to sit at the table and to eat of His Word, to enjoy that relationship and that time together with Him. It's the greatest thing that we as believers have. It's an opportunity to walk with the Lord. And the truth is for us, if we find ourselves in lukewarm affection for the Lord, it will not take long spending time in His Word where we begin to fan the flame that's there. Where we begin to see God for who He really is. We begin to comprehend what Christ has done for us. We begin to remind ourselves of where we used to be apart from Jesus. We begin to fan the flame and it begins to grow white hot. If we're lukewarm this morning, the cure is available. Seek those things that are eternal. Sup with our Savior. And notice how He closes it out, much the same way that He does in the rest of the churches. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May we hear what Jesus says to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, there's no doubt in my mind that there are believers here this morning who, if they were honest before You and in this group, they would say, I'm lukewarm. I'm not cold, but I'm not hot. Father, the good news this morning is that we don't have to stay there. We have the opportunity today to take the cure that Your Word here in Revelation 3 offers us. We have the opportunity this morning to move away from thinking that we have it all together, to move away from seeking those things that are temporal and focus our efforts and our time and our energies, our minds on things that are eternal. Gold refined by fire. White clothes. Because of Jesus' righteousness that covers us. Salve to anoint our eyes so that we will see as we're supposed to. And the daily opportunity you set before us to open the door of our hearts, to receive the word that you have delivered to us, to walk in intimate relationship with our Savior. Father, would you help us today? Turn from where we are and turn back to Jesus this morning. Away from lukewarmness to white, hot passion for the Lord. If there's one here that has never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would you give them the courage today to receive that free gift of salvation, that righteousness that can cover their sin? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning, give you an opportunity to sing, to respond to the Lord. You need to speak with someone, I'll be at the back, love to talk with you this morning.